Welcome back, guys, to another episode of Shooting the Breeze. I'm Cody.
And I'm Sawyer.
And last week we talked about how we had an idea for a new, new topic idea, right? We kind of broke down the Bible last week, kind of categorized it. And one of the big categories is the letters that Paul mm-hmm. writes to all these different churches, right? And Sawyer and I kind of thought it would be a good idea if we read into each church that Paul wrote a letter to, why he wrote the letter to them. So what was going on right. that they needed a letter, right? And how does the problems they were facing back then kind of relate to us and the church now? Yeah. Do we still face those problems? Which answer is
yes.
Most likely. Yes. Yeah.
Most likely.
Yes. Yes. And so today we're going to be diving into the book of Colossians, which is a very short book. Yep. And we did that
starting
on purpose.
Off light. starting off light.
Starting off very light. We're going to see how this works. It's more of a test episode, if you will, to make yeah. sure that, you know, maybe it hits and maybe it's like, this wasn't it. So, yeah, you ready?
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's dive on in. So, the book of Colossians, right? A letter written by Paul to the church, or not the church, to the people of Colossae.
Yes.
Right? I don't know if many of y'all have actually read the book of Colossians. It's not a long book. It's four chapters.
Four chapters.
You probably could read the entire book in 10 minutes. Like, yes. It's not huge. And I guess to give a little historical context of how this book came to be, right? Mm-hmm. We need to go back to where Paul is in this time, right?
Okay.
And how he even hears about this, these people, or these Colossians.
Because he'd never been there. He'd never met any of them.
So I believe he has. He's been there to start it.
Okay. Yeah. To start the church up.
Right. To start it. Like, he planted the seed and then kind of had to see you, right?
Okay.
I'll be back. But Paul is in prison when he writes the book of Colossians, and the reason being is because he's going around testifying that Jesus Christ is Lord, right? And a lot of Romans and Greeks didn't like that at the time.
Like that.
So they throw his butt in prison. Well, Paul has a disciple. He's not really a disciple, really. He's more of a friend that...
Yeah.
He's a disciple. That's sure. the easiest way to say it. Not as in Jesus' 12 disciples, but
right.
a follower of Paul. And his name is Epaphras, and I don't want to mess Epaphras. I don't want to mess up his name. It's Epaphras. It's Epaphras, and Epaphras is actually originally from Colossae, right?
Convenient.
And I think that's Turkey nowadays.
Okay,
I think it's around Turkey. And so Paul is in prison. He says, he tells Epaphras, he says, "Hey, go to Colossae and these other regional areas." And he was like, "Just check up on them, make sure they're doing good things, right, and all that."
Mm-hmm.
So Epaphras goes out to this area and he starts, you know, checking on everybody, and he actually gets sent back to Rome to get thrown in prison right next to Paul, right?
Yeah.
And so I couldn't imagine how Epaphras felt, like, literally, yeah, man, I got you, goes out there, does what he's told, and he gets thrown in prison right back with Paul.
Yeah.
And so, but it was God working, right? And Epaphras told Paul about all the things that were happening in Colossae, and mm-hmm. telling him, like, yeah, he said the people are doing what they can with what they have, and
right.
he said they're being obedient, and they was like, they're being the best new Christians they can be, right?
Yeah.
And so, but he also tells them about some problems that's happening within that community, and so Paul said, "Hey,
all right,
hand me my pen."
Yeah.
I'm about to cook.
Let him cook.
And so here we have the book of Colossians, right? And so the reason the book of Colossians was written, right? It starts out with Paul really congratulating them mm-hmm. because they are a very new church, right?
Right?
And he says, "Hey guys, y'all have been doing great work, like A1, right? Y'all have had a lot of adversity and stuff like that." He's like, "But y'all are pushing through. And I appreciate it."
And we love that.
Right. And he that was basically the whole first chapter. Like I said, this book is very short. It's only four chapters mm-hmm. long. And so Paul kind of moves into why he is writing this letter and what Epaphras had told him about Colossae when he got put back in prison. So what Epaphras had told Paul was that the people in Colossae, being new Christians, most of them being Gentiles, right? So which means they were either, most of them were probably raised religiously on the Greek aspect of it, right, with polytheism.
Jews, basically.
Right. Well, there's also a community there in Colossae,
well, yeah,
that is the Jewish culture, right?
Which we'll get into.
And so what Epaphras is telling Paul about this community, these new Christians, right, who are Gentiles, he's saying they're following what you have given them. They're trying to follow the, mm-hmm, the set of rules and the advice that you've given them. They were like, but there's a lot of peer pressure there.
Yeah.
And he said, and they don't know what to do with it because they don't have a lot of guidance. And so what he's hearing is that, you know, you have the Jews on one side of the spectrum, right?
Right.
Who are telling these new Christians that, oh, yeah, Jesus, we're cool with that. But you also need to be following the Sabbath, and mm-hmm, you can't eat this, and you don't need to do this, right? Basically, kind of teaching out of the Torah, the Old Testament,
the Old,
right?
Testament.
The Old Covenant.
Law.
Right? And so they're saying, yeah, you have Jesus, but you're missing this whole part of it. But once you get this whole part, you'll be good, right?
You'll be a Christian.
A Christian. We're doing air quotes. And so then you have the other side of this, where you have all these Greek philosophers who are saying, oh, yeah, Jesus, yeah, we follow Jesus too, but he's just one of the deities, right? You, mm-hmm, also have Zeus and Poseidon and Athena and all these other gods of these different aspects of your life. And so they're like, yeah, Jesus is a part of it, but there's more to it, and then you're good, right?
Yeah.
Saying, trying to add to it, if you will. And so Paul's hearing this, and he's like, no, this is wicked, right?
No.
This is terrible. And so I kind of want to read it. Hold on, I have it highlighted in my Bible. Here it is. So Paul kind of describes it in this way in Colossians 2, verse 18. He says, see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world, rather than Christ. So he's calling the problem, right? He's saying, don't let these deceptive philosophies, don't let these lies and, mm-hmm, people's trying to persuade you into wickedness. He was like, don't believe in that. He was, mm-hmm, like, that obviously they're trying to add something that's already to something that's already perfect.
Right.
It's already, and I guess if I were to label the book of Colossians anything, I would say like the main hit home point of this whole entire book is that Jesus is more than enough.
Right.
There's no part of your life, there's no problems you have that he is not big enough to conquer or, mm-hmm, to take over. And that's what Paul is really pushing home here, is that you have all these people, right? You have these Greeks and you have these Jews trying to add all this, saying that Jesus is just a part of it. No, Jesus is all of it, right? So then he goes on to verse 14, and he starts talking about why he's good enough, why he has more enough. He says, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, basically canceling
that on the cross,
right? Canceling our sin, which stood against us and condemned us, he has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. Then we jump to verse 16. Therefore, do not let anyone, and he's talking to the Jews right now, he's saying, don't let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, whether it's regards to religious festivals, a new moon, the Sabbath day. He said, these are shadow of things that were to come. The reality is we found Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So he's basically just saying like, look, people are going to tell you to do this. He's going to tell you to do this. They don't have the understanding that,
right,
that we have as Christians. He was like, they think that Jesus was just a step on the ladder to go up one,
right,
more. Hey, but you still need all the old stuff. He said, that's all over. The new covenant is here,
mm-hmm,
and the old covenant's gone. And so I can continue on a little more and kind of talk about, you know, what Paul is trying to express to him. But the biggest point here is that Paul is just saying, like, don't let peer pressure make you cave.
Right.
And I think that is something we could definitely, like, relate to now.
I know. What that sounds like immediately to me is, like, it's almost like, so, like, us, there we have so much information available to us at all times.
Right.
Yeah. So it's like, They're facing a similar thing where it's like you have all these different points of views and different, you know, religions and blah, 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 saying like, yeah, that's good, but you might want to do this too and look into this and, you know, this also and blah, blah, blah. Like this kind of over information, you know, or like keep them distracted from the main thing.
Right. And I think when I was reading this, I was like, dang, I feel like there's a couple like good points or like good examples you can point out. Like when you had all the Jews telling the people of Colossae, telling all the people of Colossae, like, oh, you have to do the Sabbath and you have to do, you know, you can't eat this, you can't eat this, the new moon, whatever. Like, I feel like you can kind of relate that to judgmental Christians.
Yeah.
Or like over spiritual Christians.
Over religious.
Over religious. And, you know, that's just how some people were raised in church, right?
Right.
And there's not much you can do about that. But there are going to be people. Here's the thing. The way that the devil can crack you is by telling you you're not good enough.
Right.
Right. That's going to be one way that the devil works you, is that you're not good enough. You know, you're not doing enough. You should be full of shame and guilt. Mm-hmm. And Jesus is his grace doesn't cover all that. Right? Right. And so you'll have a lot of these people coming up to you saying like, oh, you just pray. You don't read your Bible.
You don't fast.
Oh my God. It's January. You're not
fasting. You're not doing the corporate fast.
You know, you're not volunteering and greeting on Sunday morning.
Which all that stuff's great.
Right. All that stuff is great. And we do. Billy says it all the time. Save people, serve people. And I really believe in that. But here's the thing that I always like have been told and that hits home with me and that like really gives me a reality check is that it doesn't matter how much you do, none of your actions truly get you to heaven.
They don't get you salvation.
No.
You're not saved by works.
No. And we all know what the one thing is that does save us.
Right.
And that's Jesus Christ.
That's faith in Jesus Christ.
That's what he did is what gets you to heaven, not what you do.
Not what you do.
Right? So obviously, you want to be obedient and you believe in Jesus as your Lord and Savior. But ultimately, when you believe that in your heart and you confess it with your mouth, you're like, this is it.
Right.
He did the rest.
Yep.
Like being a Christian, becoming a Christian is not hard. Being a Christian is hard.
Yeah.
Right. And so, so that's one aspect of that I saw was like, you know, people trying to, oh, you're not doing enough. You already have the devil trying to tell you that.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't need people doing it.
And I'm not calling these Christians, these over-religious people, the devil.
We don't know any of them.
Right. But you already have the devil working in your mind with those kind of thoughts. Right. And now you have people, over-religious people, like, being judgmental, like, so I didn't see you at church at Sunday. You know what I'm saying? Stuff like that. And it's like, you know, you're going to have those people that are saying you're not doing enough.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to realize that it's not about what you did, but what about Jesus did.
Right.
And so that was one aspect of it that I kind of took away. What was the other one I had?
The funny thing to me too is like one of the things it says is that obviously there is an issue with people taking pride in their Christianity because of what they do. That was like that's what a lot of Jews were doing back then. It's like, oh yeah, y'all are Christians. Like y'all are baby Christians, or you know, y'all have the Jesus part, but we have all the, you know, we do this and we do that and we adhere to the law and we only eat, you know, blah, blah, blah. And all this stuff, they take pride in it. They as if they're more Christian because of those things.
Right.
And that's just not, he actually has a whole part of that. I can't remember if it's this one or if it's Galatians where he's talking about that of, he uses an analogy of Hagar and one of Abraham's wife, if I can remember,
Sarah?
Like neither one of these two are more saved because of their ancestry or anything like that. We're all just as much Christians because of Jesus. It's through Jesus,
right?
Not because of what you do or and that's the truth. Now, obviously, after our heaven talk, you might be thinking like, well, that's a little contradictory because we talk about doing works and blah, blah, blah. Yes, all that stuff is great. And, you know, faith without the works is dead, right. Is what the Bible says. But the works is not what earns you salvation.
Yeah.
That's just part of being a Christian, is the treating people well, you know, doing all of those things. Like, that's part of, that's the spirit at work in your life.
Right.
Not justification, which I guess you could say, like, oh, that's the justification, you know, that you're a Christian is the things you do.
Yeah.
Yes and no.
A lot of people are like, you know, who said it? I want to say it was Billy Graham who said it. And he said, basically, they were like, why would God send people to hell? You know, why would he let all these bad things happen, right? Why would he make us spend eternity in agony? And Billy Graham just said, God didn't send a single man to hell.
Right.
He said, man sent themselves there.
To hell, yeah.
Right. And so I guess what you're saying is, like, you know, when we talked about the whole heaven episode and we were like, you know, you get your rewards and stuff like mm-hmm. that stuff is true, but that you going to heaven or you going to hell is through Jesus.
Right.
That was the ultimate decision of whether you are saved or whether you're not saved.
Right.
Now, whether you accept the fact that Jesus died on the cross for your sins or you don't, that determines location.
Yeah.
Right. So that shoots you up or down. Whether now getting rewarded on it, that's a little different. But right. What we're talking about here, yes. You know, in Colossians is, you know, whether you're going upstairs or you're going downstairs.
I just didn't want anybody to be like, well, that's a little contradictory.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I get what you're saying, because it's like, we just talked about rewards. What do you mean?
Yeah.
Right. And you do get those rewards. But first, you got to make the decision that you want to live that life.
Neither one of those, even the rewards in heaven, don't make you more of a Christian.
No.
That's not what it's there for.
And if you're truly a Christian, one of the biggest things that Christian philosophy teaches is being humble.
Right.
And so if you are a Christian like that, and you won't show it
yeah.
like that.
If you're taking pride in anything other than the cross.
Probably wrong.
You're probably wrong.
So, yeah, mainly in chapter 2, you know, Paul's kind of going over, like, this is what I'm hearing. This is what you need to do to fix it. And that's kind of what I want to roll into now, is, like, what does Paul say, you know, when he's trying to fix this problem that he sees, right? Because mm-hmm. Paul's just a fixer. He's a guy that
he's
sees
guy.
Problems.
He's
and
him.
And he didn't even have to show up.
No, bro, he bro, didn't even go there.
Bro wrote a letter. And I can't remember the guy who delivered the letter, his name was like Tychicus or something like that. It sounded like tick, but then it had a cuss on the end. It's something like that.
Stop,
anyways,
just quit trying.
Paul. So basically, we've been talking about the solution that Paul gave to the Colossians this whole time, and that is basically preaching, sending this home, is that Jesus is more than enough. What does Billy say at church? He says, Jesus plus nothing.
Plus nothing is everything, or is enough.
Yeah, is enough, yeah. Right? So, and that's just what he's saying here. He's saying, don't fall into the deceit, don't fall into the wickedness, don't fall into the lies, because really what these people are doing is trying to get you to fall into their religion,
yeah.
Trying to convince you that, and that's a tricky spot too, is that people... We talked about this during the Super Bowl episode when mm-hmm. we had that commercial
yeah.
that was talking about Jesus washed feet.
Yeah.
And it was showing a lot of controversial stuff out there.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things we said in that episode was that it's okay to preach Jesus. It's okay to try to sell Jesus through a Super Bowl advertisement, but make sure you're selling the right Jesus.
Yeah.
Right? Make sure that you're preaching the right Jesus, because people are going to be like, oh, so Jesus is cool with homosexuality? Jesus is cool with abortion? You know, Jesus is cool with all those things? Because that commercial was very...
That's kind of what it makes it out to be.
Yeah. We what did we say it was? It was very easily misinterpreted.
Yeah.
Right? And so yeah. you kind of look at that and you relate that back to the Colossian people. You had those same people,
mm-hmm.
I'm not going to say liberals, but you had those same, I guess...
I'm not going to say what I just said. But.
I'm not going to say what I thought was thinking, but, you know, you had those same people that are like, huh, Jesus, Christianity, we might be able to work this.
We can work this.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? They took yeah. that little idea, because these are very new Christians,
mm-hmm.
and those are the most moldable minds,
right.
is when you have somebody who's still... finding themselves, their purpose, and their faith.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have these people like, okay, yeah, 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 Jesus, yeah, we got Jesus. We just also yeah. have, you know, Zeus and, you know, yeah. Hades, and we have all these guys.
It's like a control thing too. That's what's weird too to me.
It's very smart. I'm not supporting it. But it is ingenious.
Yeah.
Because of like, oh, we're just gonna work with them, but make them work against themselves without knowing it.
Right.
And so they get them to say, oh yeah, that's a part of it. But look, you're missing so much more.
There's so much more
that you're missing. Like, you're not even getting the full, you know.
It's the same thing the devil did.
Exactly.
It's the same thing. And, it's like, do you want to be more like God, or do you want to be like God, or have, hey, yeah, you're just in the garden that, you know, you're in basically heaven on earth right now, but there's more.
Yeah.
You know, that sort of, that seductive temptation, you know.
They
kind
of played it like, oh, you're in the dark about all the rest of this stuff.
Oh, man.
When really,
God's keep, like, Jesus is keeping stuff from you, or something like that.
Yeah, oh, we hadn't heard that before.
Yeah, like, yeah.
He just doesn't want you to know.
Yeah.
The knowledge of good and evil, you know, so, I guess that maybe there was a lot of foreshadowing in there that we might have just realized. Now that I'm looking back on that. But and I think that's very relatable nowadays. You have a lot of people that, like that Super Bowl commercial, you know, they're saying, you know what? We're not going to be able to beat this Jesus thing. We're not going to be able to beat Christians. It's too firm. But we could maybe manipulate it to where we get people
right
to believe in Christianity, but we're selling a whole different
product. And we might be trying to close right now.
Oh, I mean, no, we're good.
But I even think, like, it's kind of like when people, all right, you have Jesus, and in the same sense, it's like, I had a really stressful day at work. I just had a really hard day or whatever like that, and you pick up the drink or whatever to kind of get, like, it's like, no. Jesus alone is supposed to be our comforter.
Right.
And stuff like that. Like, you shouldn't need any other outside, you know, forces or blah, blah, blah to, like, comfort you or to, you know, this and that. And I'm not saying, like, oh, Jesus is our healer, so don't take any medicine. That's not what I'm saying.
Right. Yeah.
You know, that sort of thing. But if you had a really rough day and your first response is to go to the bottle instead of praying about it.
Yeah.
You're probably not in the best headspace. You know?
Or not even like a hard day, just like you're just facing a difficult battle.
Right, like stressed or, you know, anything like that.
Like you just got
the Holy Spirit is our comforter.
Right. Yeah. And that's the thing. You're supposed to, like you said, run to Jesus first.
Right.
Rather than running to
that seems like the same thing to me as like, yeah, I have Jesus, but there's all this other stuff that I can use for the same thing. It's like, no. Try to replace it. Jesus is supposed to be the first, you know, he's all you need.
Yeah, and I guess we might be beating a dead horse at this point.
Yeah,
there's so many
ways. We're just shooting the breeze right now.
Yeah, we're just literally shooting the breeze. And I guess that's the good thing, like, about these letters is that, you know, you can... There's so many, like, interpretations that you could take away from it. Like, if you keep going, you can pull so many different like good messages out, like, oh, that makes sense, like I feel that in my life and stuff like that. And I feel like at the end of the day, that's what Colossians is talking about, all of these things, right? Whether it's over religious people trying to add something to your faith that you may not need to be in a good place with God, or whether, you know, it's like you were just saying, you know, trying to replace God with these other things, like the Greeks and the Jews were doing to Christians back then. It's like, oh, you need this, and you don't need all that. Like, Jesus is just a part of it, right? And I guess what Paul is just killing is that saying, like, Jesus is more than enough.
He's enough.
Right. He can meet you at every need. He can meet you wherever you are in your battle. And I guess that's the great thing about Colossians is that it's only four chapters.
That's a quick
and
read.
He cooked up.
Yeah.
For four chapters.
That's a quick read.
Yeah, and it really is. And towards the end, I love how he always like ends his letters like, hold on, let me find it. I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you.
Like, I love him.
All right, bro. You just
his openings and closings are great.
Dude, the closings are gas. Like, if I would have read that, I'd be like, dang. but I found it, what I was saying about... what was I saying? How do you say his name?
I don't know, man.
Tychius? I can't remember. It's something like that. He was basically the guy that brought the letter to the Colossians. But in chapter 4 of Colossians, or chapter 3 or 4, Paul kind of dives into like how a household.
Oh yeah, that's one of my favorite parts.
Should be.
I got it. It's either Tychicus or.
I think it's Tychicus.
With a Y?
Tychicus? Tychicus? I don't know. It might be that. I don't know. They had weird names back then. That's kind of hard. Why couldn't it just been like Gerald or something? Bob.
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 That wouldn't quite hit. I wouldn't trust the guy named Bob with my face.
I don't think I'd trust him with my letters. No, but when he was reading these letters to the Colossians in chapter 3, Paul kind of talks about like how a Roman household would be mm-hmm. if it was perfect in Jesus, saying like, you know, the woman would be respecting to her husband as the provider and love him as Jesus loved her, you know, her. And then on the other side of that, the man would love his woman and provide for her as Jesus has provided for him. Mm-hmm. And then it has the master and slave relationship where it's like the master would, you know, treat his slave as if, you know,
fairly too.
Right. Fairly and with respect, like Jesus would.
As Jesus treats us.
Right. And then the same thing, the slave would respect his master, not trying to, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Not over.
Usurp? I don't know.
No, like, anyways. The slave wouldn't try to... Dude, what is the word I'm looking for? Holy crap.
It says, not only when their eyes on you and to curry their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord.
Basically saying, like, the slave respects the master, right? Mm-hmm. Not just as, you know, my master, but as a... I guess, not because he owns me, but because he... I have respect for him.
Right.
Right, is why I'm obedient. And so... It kind of like paints this perfect Roman family picture. And it's funny because Philemon, right? We talked about mm-hmm. him. He's also a guy that gets a letter.
Yep.
I didn't know this, and I'll have to double check this. But I saw this and I thought it was funny. So Philemon's kind of like listening to this letter that we're just going to call him Tick for now.
Tick. My man Tick.
Tick. It's a little easier to say. But it's funny because Tick's reading this letter to the Colossians,
yeah,
and Philemon's there,
yeah,
and he's hearing this, and and it's about, you know, the relationship between a slave and all this and stuff, and right that, and he's like, yeah. Well, Philemon used to be a slave,
okay,
and to his master, and so, but he ran away, and so,
man, that's good.
And so he's hearing this, and he's like, oh, that's good. That's how my master should have treated me and everything like this. And then I could just see, like, to like, holding a letter for Philemon behind his back. Like, hey, buddy, I know you really agree with this, but you got one, too.
Hey, yeah. Hey, guess what?
You're not going to like this. He's like, yeah, man, I wish I could have heard more about that. Oh, you're about to. I actually got something for you. But I don't know why I found that funny, but...
Tick just like started side-eyeing.
Dang, this is so
like, man, these Colossians are getting it. Tick's like,
turn me up.
Oh, wait, we don't have video. They can't see me side-eye.
I know it. Anyways, I thought that was funny. But yeah, that's really all we have for today.
A short one.
Yeah, it was a short one, but I feel like, you know. It's four chapters.
What do y'all want
yeah,
from us?
Yeah, what do you want? Like, we're not scholars. We never admitted to be. But we do kind of like, and I like, and we'll have to kind of discuss whether or not we want to keep doing this, which I like it so far.
Yeah, it'd be good.
If anything, it's giving me... It's helping me learn more about these books of the Bibles and, you know...
Yeah.
The Bible. Sorry, not Bibles. The only one. But...
Careful.
It's helping me learn more about the New Testament and give me more context, because I read this stuff and I read it as, okay, give me a good piece of advice, you know.
Yeah,
I don't read it as in the context of, oh, Paul's in prison and, you know, he's got Epaphras sending, you know, checking out this place, and
yeah,
like, I didn't really understand that, but when you put historical context with it, it makes it a little easier.
Read your Bible as though you're about to have to teach it to people. I think that's a good piece of advice too. It's definitely helped us, I think.
I mean, doesn't Paul say, it's either Paul or Peter, I can't remember, that says, have a reason on why you believe in what you believe. Mm-hmm. Like, be ready to tell others if asked why you believe in what you believe. So, I mean, it's good to read your Bible, man, because there's a lot of people who are going to be like, what's that guy that always goes to college campuses?
I don't know his name, but I know exactly who you're talking
Everybody
about.
Knows who I'm talking about. He's always like leaning on his knees, ready for like somebody to just tackle him, but he's super witty and smart. And
yeah, I like that.
Yeah, he's able to fire back really quick. Anyways, but I mean, he gets asked really hard questions. Like, yeah. I don't know what I would say. Like, people are asking him, you know, about super theological Christianity, religious.
Apologetics are coming back.
I like it.
Yeah, for a minute, it was kind of. Which, I mean, yeah, rightfully so. There was some stuff come out about, like, my man Ravi Zacharias. Are you not aware of this?
Mm-mm.
Oh, well, we won't talk about it because I don't care to slander people. But,
yeah.
He was, I remember growing up listening to Ravi Zacharias because I'm the type where I ask questions like that.
Yeah.
Because, I don't know, it's fun.
Yeah.
So I always liked apologetics and I'm glad to see it kind of coming back.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I want to be more knowledgeable about the Bible in general so that when people do ask about certain things, I can. Billy just talked about it this past Sunday. I love how I can just pull stuff out of his message and call it our own. But
yeah, it's great. It's all borrowed.
He talked about the body armor of God this past Sunday. Mm-hmm. And he said, if you read over all the parts of the armor, right, all of it but one is for defense.
Mm.
He was like, one part of it is for offense or attacking.
Right.
And that is the sword of the spirit, right? Which is the word of God. And so, you know, I'm not saying you need to attack people when they're asking you questions like, oh, wham, Bible verse here, look.
Ching, ching.
The sword's going crazy, right? But you do need to know a good baseline of like, okay, if somebody were to ask me like why I believe in Jesus Christ, what am I going to say? Oh, because you have your testimony. That's awesome. But what if they want more than that, right? What if it's like, okay, cool, that could all be a coincidence. I need some more. I need literature.
Need more.
Right, you know, and so you need to kind of have something in the back of your mind like, okay, well, it says here that Jesus said he was the Son of God. Yep. I am he, right? And so, anyways, that's all I got.
That's all I got.
All right, guys. Well, I appreciate y'all listening to another episode of Shooting the Breeze. We'll most likely be back with a new letter that Paul had written to a new country or church. Yep. And we're probably going to dissect that again, kind of see where it goes. But yeah, you got anything?
I'm good.
All right.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus. Dude, you know what? I'm going to tell y'all right now, before we go, you need to go listen to this song. If you're in the gym or if you just want to get hyped up, you need to go listen to this song. It's called Jesus Called My Name by Zonti. The Stone Brook Project is the name of that
album. Are we about to start doing recs?
What?
We're about to start doing recommendations at the end of the episode. I'm down for that.
Dude, I listen to this song anytime I go run, anytime I'm working out, and it hypes me. There's a part
day
in it
that
it's like,
wait,
Jesus Christ is
on
Lord.
The Lord shall renew.
Oh, it's not like that. It's hot. It goes crazy. But yeah, listen to that next time you're working out or something, you get piped up. So, but yeah, guys, thanks for listening to another episode of Shooting the Breeze. I'm Cody.
And I'm Sawyer.
And we'll see you in 2 weeks with another episode.